Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Halloween. For more information about the news and links we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Welcome.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, my geek beers.
Welcome.
Welcome
to
dun,
Geeks
dun,
On.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun.
An exciting new episode.
Exactly.
How was everybody's geek week?
It's so early.
It's way too early in the morning, Aaron.
I had 3 hours of sleep. I'm so giggly.
The last three times we've done it at this time.
No, I know. It just feels especially early this morning. I don't know why.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
Wow.
Hi, my name is Peter Robbins, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek as well.
My name is Donald Marshall. I'm a writer and video game professional here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Together we are Geeks On.
Welcome.
And I'll form the head.
I'm the crotch.
Yeah, no one ever forms the groin.
No, that was my friend Mark. Yeah, my friend Mark Jordan was, I think he was in the Constructicons.
Yes.
And he had done the voice for years, and his wife at the time, now his ex-wife, was like, she was looking at it, and she's from Brooklyn, and she goes, Mark, you're the crotch. He was the crotch.
I don't think so. There were five of them, though.
Yeah, and he was sort of the lower, one of them became like hips,
oh,
and
really?
Sort of, and then the other guy stacked on top of him. Some toy specialist
sad.
Is going to have to correct my ass if I'm wrong, but you know, he said he was the crotch.
That's some type of broke back transformer thing going on.
Yeah.
All right.
I wish I could quit you.
Is there any sound dampening thing that you can like put anti-sound down below your speakers? Do they have anything
yes.
like that?
Of course.
Anti-sound? Well, there's noise canceling.
Noise canceling stuff.
Do you mean so it doesn't go... For what reason?
To avoid your
neighbor. Because I got into a fight with my neighbor last night. Mm. Yelling match with my neighbor. Because she was like hitting on the floor. And I've put down soundproofing. I've taken my speakers up off the floor. I've lifted
television
everything.
Television or music?
Television. And we can't hear, it's at, like, my speaker goes up to 15, and we have it at 2, right? And it's 11:30 on a frickin' Friday night, and she's throwing a hissy. And we can't hear, we can barely hear, it's Battlestar. So, I mean, I understand if there's, you know, booms or whatever, but we're halfway across the room, and we can barely, we're constantly going, what? And then rewinding, and what? Rewinding. And this woman...
Oh, she's not complaining about the noise. She's just sick of hearing the same damn thing over and over.
Hear that? She can't hear Battlestar because it's a... Did you guys see last night's episode?
I did not.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Probably the most expensive television show, single show, I think I've seen. I mean...
Yeah.
What, just in terms of CGI budget or
it
what?
It was like every other shot was an effect shot. And we're talking some serious effects. Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it more in the detail next week, I suppose. But
we'll give you one
I will
week.
Say I was correct on one and a half of my predictions.
I've been correct on almost all of my predictions for the first couple episodes. And when you see this one, you're going to be even more shocked at how perfect I predicted the Battlestar.
How blindingly accurate Aaron Hendricks is.
It was almost like I had the scripts.
Aaron, what is that stack of stuff over on your table?
Oh, things that no one wants to hear about.
Oh, okay.
It's a game.
They're not scripts?
There's a script.
Oh! Is it a Battlestar script?
No. And some other things. All right. So, anybody else have a good geek week?
I had a very interesting morning. My wife is great. I love my wife. She's so fantastic.
Did anybody notice this is a preface?
Yeah.
And she's so much better than I am, you know. But there are a few things
you
that
married
very,
up.
I married up. I definitely married up. But I'm the skeptic in the family, mm-hmm. and this drives her nuts because she's the opposite of the skeptic.
You're the Scully.
I'm the Scully.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So this morning we got in a talk just about pesticides on food, and you know, I believe that organic's better for the most part because you know, I think that pesticides are going to leave a residue. Mm-hmm. But she starts talking about how bodies are not decomposing in their graves because of pesticides and preservatives. And I said, well, honey, I mean, they put formaldehyde in bodies so they don't decompose in their graves. Mm-hmm. At which point she goes, ah, I don't even know why I bother, you know, got completely pissed off at me. Mm-hmm. So I went on the internet to try and find out if this is a myth or if it's true. And I couldn't find anything on either side. So if there's anyone out there who knows anything about this, I'd love to know.
Whether or not they put substances in human bodies that keep them preserved?
No. She thinks that even with the preservatives that they put in the formaldehyde, bodies are still decomposing slower.
Right. One, they're not allowed to use formaldehyde anymore. I did a show called Burial Customs.
Oh, really?
So I spent a lot of time.
But they use some type of product.
They do use products that are there. Yeah, the side effect a lot of times is that it releases gas into the body.
And now,
But the question
Snopes
is.
Snopes didn't have.
I think I prefer a green burial.
Yeah.
Have you heard of those? They just wrap you in a blanket, drop you in a hole.
Oh, burn. I want burn my me. Ass. I burn. Want to launch
burn
me into
me.
Outer space. I want all the stuff.
They couldn't do that with me. I'd like outlast the menorahs.
It's 9 days. He's still lit. It's the miracle of Don's body. Yeah. Well, you might start a new religion.
There you go.
The miracle of Don's body.
But the question is, are bodies decomposing slower because of preservatives in our food?
I think I might be on your side there, Peter.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah.
Bodies are decomposing slower because of preservatives in our food?
That's the question.
That's a reach, and I'm not a skeptic.
Yeah, well, that's my feeling of it, that being a bit of a reach.
Are you sure that was her argument?
That was her argument.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Preservatives and pesticides.
I find it hard to care. I mean, it's your body. Who cares? You're not in it anymore. Let it last a couple hundred years. Who cares?
I don't know.
Because you're trashing this. All right, let's move on.
Anyway, there could
be
only one.
Yeah, but I'm not here anymore.
Yeah, but you're leaving. You're taking up room to the rest of us who are like trying
to
live
up.
Out.
The real
that's
question.
That's fine. Reuse my body for something else.
The real question.
Make furniture
is,
out of my bones.
If preservatives are so bad that they make your bodies decompose slow, like they don't decompose for 20 years or whatever. Then what else are they doing to your body? That's the way.
Making you live longer. They're preserving your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're living longer right now than we've ever lived before.
Plus, because
and
preservatives.
The decent health.
It's so clear
now.
I didn't see it before. Preservatives are making us live longer.
Well, why not? They're making us bigger. I don't know.
All right, let's move on.
I think the increased protein is making you bigger.
Yeah. Anything maybe. More geeky?
I went to. I was going to go see The Prestige last night, but didn't get to. It sucked.
Okay.
But I really liked
it. I'm on my horror movie kick right now. Last week, I saw Silent Hill.
Mm,
which
I haven't seen that yet.
I actually enjoyed. I was very surprised. Alice Krieg shows up and
that
plays.
That means I'm going to hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You will despise this movie. It depends on Cheap Tricks. But the Cheap Tricks are so...
Oh, like, it's all just like jump out at you, jump out at you, jump out at you?
I wouldn't say jump out at you, but it's like a... It's sort of like just horrible imagery, you know?
Oh, like Jacob's Ladder. I love that. Jacob's Ladder is pretty much that. Like
it's not so much camera tricks as like, you know, look at the horrific monster that we show you. And I loved it. I mean, I loved the monster designs in it. Yeah. I know some of them are pretty much lifted from the video game, but I thought it was very well done.
The video game had awesome monsters.
And I really liked actually the acting in it was much better than I expected.
Oh, it's Alice Creek.
Well, Alice Krieg shows up and she plays a really great kind of, you know, scary zealot. The lead actress is adequate to the part. And the ending was much more artistic than I expected from a horror movie of its, you know, its genre.
Are they prefacing a sequel?
Wouldn't surprise me, but I didn't feel like they were setting up for a sequel.
No, it was almost like it took place like... during Silent Hill 2, right? I mean, it had the cop.
Yes.
So that was Silent Hill 2 or
the
3?
Cop who was good, but I felt like there were missing scenes. Like, the cop was missing something. And I didn't really get there. No. But I also...
Did it have the radio sound?
It did. It did.
Christ!
And they only worked it in a couple points in the movie. They were very specific with it. But they had to kind of bend the myth a little bit. Mm. So it's the cop's walkie-talkie. that picks up the sound, and I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But the other one that didn't sit well with me was the mother's cell phone also starts broadcasting that static sound. And I'm like, no, that I don't buy.
Yeah.
That used to scare the living crap out of me.
So I think Silent Hill might be a fun one for Halloween. You know, just go out, give it a shot. Mm-hmm. Don't expect high, you know, the highest of caliber of horror movie. But it's much better than I expected it to be. Also rented Ju-on, The Grudge, and Ringu.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ringu, better, worse?
I think I actually preferred the American version.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Did it meander a little?
Yeah. I didn't really care about anyone, so I wasn't really that involved.
Sometimes that's my complaint with Japanese horror films, is they tend to like take 20 minutes where they could take 5.
Well, I felt that way about The Grudge, right? Now, watching The Grudge, I've seen The American Grudge, which was okay, you know. It was all right. It wasn't that bad. And then I watched Ju-on, The Grudge, right? And Ju-on is apparently all three Grudge movies. Like, all three American Grudge movies are apparently in the first
one
Japanese.
Okay.
And there are a couple time jumps that are a little unclear for an American watcher. We're a little bit more linear.
Right.
Right? So this one, like, it jumps forward in time, then backwards in time, and then way forward, like 15 years in time, and then backwards in time. And there were some points there where I'm like, now, did this person who died 15 years ago just show up here 15 years later? You know, there are a couple actresses who were poorly cast. They looked the same to me. So I had a hard time telling if I was looking at
John,
which person.
Don, we don't all look alike, man. God.
But you do, Matt. You do.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
I saw Pulitzer Prize winning play The Doubt, or not The
Doubt.
Doubt last night. It's good.
Ju-on The Doubt.
Ju-on The Doubt.
I mean, you know.
Well, Cherry Jones is,
it's brilliant. It's fantastic. It's really good. I mean, cool. It won a Pulitzer. It's, you know, so.
Sharp. All righty. How about some geek news?
Why don't we do that? Cue the music.
I've got a quick, sweet, simple one. I got this off of News of the Weird. So, unfortunately, our link may not work by the time we get this up.
Yeah.
In September, police in Madison, Wisconsin said Milo G. Chamberlain's blood alcohol content was 0.425, which experts said normally is attainable only by those either dead or in a coma. But he was picked up quite conscious, allegedly causing a disturbance at a Marathon gas station, where he reportedly got into a fight with a gas pump before being restrained by passerbys.
Oh, yeah.
Police said Chamberlain responded to each of their questions only by rattling off strings of numbers of no particular pattern. I think this man escaped from Lost.
This is a really great beginning to a movie.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I think I need to work this into the script I'm working
on.
Why
not? That's brilliant.
It's
some crazy.
I'm not sure if people would believe it, though.
Why not? Well, you know, you have the weird
thing.
But
the guy actually fights the gas machine, right?
Yeah, he's in a fight with a gas pump.
Yeah.
So you change it. He grabs the gas thing, and then he pours the gasoline all over himself, and he's going to set himself on fire, and somebody tackles him and stops him.
No. Yeah. Then the cops say, put it down, put it down. He starts rattling out the numbers, and before they can help, he lights himself on fire. You don't save him. You got to see him burn.
Yeah. You need the blood.
You need to see him burn. All right. Yeah. And then the rest of the show, he's this horrible, nasty, burnt. Interesting.
But it actually happened.
I like it.
Crazy.
All right. Aaron.
I think Sony is getting desperate.
Why?
I'm not sure why, but I think they're actually worried about their PlayStation 3 sales this, not this Christmas, because they've sold them all already, but coming up season.
So PlayStation 3, sorry for the ignorant Matt, they are coming out this Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like 12 of them.
Okay.
There's 400,000 of them coming out here in the United States, I believe. And there are 100,000 of them coming out in Japan, which I'm not sure why the Japanese, if they aren't, going mad. Because the PlayStation 2, they had like 600,000.
Right.
And remember, there were people who were jumping off buildings because they couldn't get one.
Yeah.
They were killing themselves because they couldn't get a PlayStation 2. Now there's only 100,000 coming out.
Mass riots, mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together.
Wow.
Now, normally, Sony hasn't worried about any competition. They just keep on keeping on. If, you know, Microsoft comes out with a superior Xbox, then they just they haven't worried about it. They just keep on, you know, making games and, you know, ruling the video game world.
It's been doing well for them.
But now they're putting out lies. They're actually putting out... So this is from a PlayStation... This is a fact sheet that they put out on a website to compare the systems. And as we all know, the PlayStation 3 is between $500 and $600. $500 for the low-end version, $600 for the high-end version.
So but you need the high-end version if you want to do anything.
So what they decided to do is compare the boxes and the real price. So what they did was they put the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 next to each other and said, okay, here are the components of each one and what you would have to pay for the price of each one for the Xbox. And this is what they list for the required to buy for the Xbox. You have to buy the console for $299. That's the low-end version.
Okay.
You have to buy the 20-gig hard drives for $100. You have to buy the HD DVD drive for $199. You have to buy the wireless controller for $50. And you have to buy the 12-month Xbox Live Gold subscription for $50, which puts the Xbox at $698, which is way more than the PlayStation. Right.
Well, maybe they're saying you have to buy all those things to equal the functionality of a $600 PlayStation.
That's not what they say. But here's the thing is, all you have to do is buy the higher version of the Xbox, which is only $400,
okay,
and you get all that stuff, not $700.
Ah.
If you buy everything separately, which you don't need any of that stuff, then it would cost you that much if you bought it all separately. But all you have to do is buy the other version, and it's still $200 cheaper. $200 cheaper. I mean, they just flat out lied. So there are rumors that Microsoft just might sue Sony for this.
Sony's taking a page from the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So anyway.
That was Don, everybody.
I think Sony's they're out of their mind, and I think they're actually getting worried. Because they haven't had to do any of this stuff in the last couple of years. They haven't had to do it. So anyway.
Dum, dum, dum.
They're crazy.
PETA.
Okay. Well, there were some scientists from Indiana University Bloomington and 8 collaborating institutions.
Is this a study?
It's a study.
Kick ass.
Who found about a new water-filled fracture inside a South American gold mine near Johannesburg.
Okay.
So they thought this was a good opportunity to study subsurface rock uncontaminated by human activities. And they traveled to this mine, descended a hot gas-choked shaft to study water slowly seeping from the crack. What they found was a bacteria that was 2.8 kilometers below the Earth's surface.
Ooh.
The bacteria rely on radioactive uranium to convert water molecules to usable energy.
These are nuclear... bacteria?
Well, they're not like, you know, fusion fission type of bacteria. What they're doing is that there's radioactive material in the area that when it hits the water, it causes the water to decay and turn into hydrogen, okay? And they're using the hydrogen as a fuel source.
Huh.
But this is like an extraordinarily unusual type of life for our planet.
That's really weird.
Well, now, what we thought was unusual.
What we thought was unusual. Yeah, who knows what's really down deep in the earth. Mm-hmm. But what's really exciting to a lot of people is that, you know, this is a sign that there could be life on other planets quite easily in
without
ways that we've never
sun
thought of. Right. So, for example,
Pluto.
Mars actually is what they were talking about.
Yeah. Wow.
Because underneath the permafrost on Mars, they're thinking there is water down there. So there's a neat idea.
Did you see that whole thing about how they're scrapping the shuttles completely? Shuttles are going to be completely scrapped. We're going back to the old version of rockets. Yeah. The Apollo version. There's a new company. I can't think of what the name
of it is.
You're
saying NASA is doing this?
Yes.
Or? Really?
Yes.
I have not heard that. I know that they've decided they need to make a new spaceship.
Because... scrapping the shuttles by 2020, I think it is. And we'll have in place this new system, projectile system, specifically to go to Mars. Well, who knows?
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you don't need a shuttle to go to Mars. I mean, so,
exactly. Well, so. That's what they're saying.
Last week we found out all we need is a slingshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's that the Soyuz is cheaper. So, who knows?
Okay.
Anyway, so this is in a follow-up to Aaron's. Sony has unveiled its net service for the PS3.
Yeah.
It's basically unveiled the details of the PS3 online service and a list of 21 games that will be available at launch.
And launch window? Or launch day?
At launch.
Okay.
I don't know. It will let owners play other gamers, chat, download extras, store images, video, or music, and browse the net. The network will be free to play or chat, but users must pay to get downloadable games and other extras. Basically, the launch titles are Resistance Fall of Man and BA07.
Resistance actually is the only one that looks pretty cool. And unfortunately, the creature design's a little lame.
Genji, Days of the Blade, Blazing Angel, Squadron of World War II, Call of Duty 3, Fight Night Round 3, Elder Scrolls 4, Fear, Full Auto 2, Madden NFL, Marvel, Mobile Suit Gundam, NBA 2K7, Need for Speed, NHL 2K7, Ridge Racer, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer 7.
Wow, they're having a Ridge Racer, Ridge Racer launch a Sony platform? Yep. Strange.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Tiger Woods PGA, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas.
Oh, I can't wait. That's coming out soon.
I don't know. Tony Hawk's Project, Untold Legends, Dark Kingdom. And that's it.
Have you seen the trailers for Vegas?
No, not at all.
I haven't seen it.
It looks freaking awesome. By the way, I bought the new Splinter Cell. Started my mission.
Is it ridiculous?
It's awesome. There's an awesome scene where you parachute out, and it's not a cut scene. So you're parachuting. You move the camera around. The camera's shaking. You pull the ripcord, and you get tangled. So you have to like wrestle the cords off of you as you're like. The visuals are so unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
They were so unbelievable, you couldn't believe them.
There you go.
I couldn't even believe. I thought I was dreaming. I had to pinch myself. I'll show you guys after the show. Matt, you can go skydiving.
Okay, I can go skydiving. Finally. Yep. Basically, other than that, it's got a whole bunch of online things, which are exact copies of Microsoft Xbox.
Right. Well, I'm hoping. Trust me. I don't want anyone to fail, because a good competition means that it's good for all of us.
Yep.
It's just Sony has screwed us on this online thing before. I mean, they were supposed to have that in PlayStation 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's one game.
Dum dum dum.
The Resident Evil one, right?
No, SOCOM.
Oh, Resident Evil. Oh.
Resident Evil was a disaster. No one
played
that.
I heard it.
Anyway. Donnie?
A Boy Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, etc., etc. He is also
friendly,
respectful.
Courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, and he doesn't steal music online.
Did you just cock block my news story?
Were you a Boy Scout?
You bastard.
I'm an Eagle Scout.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Notice that's present tense. He said,
I like the Boy Scouts.
So this has to do with music.
Fires.
Oh, Peter Foley, what are we gonna do? What would we do without you? Boy Scouts in the Los Angeles area will now be able to earn a merit patch for learning about the evils of downloading pirated movies and music.
You have got to be shitting me.
The patch shows a film reel, a music CD, and the international copyright symbol, a C enclosed in a circle. The movie industry has developed the curriculum. So,
oh my god.
Well, I mean, okay, when push comes to shove, ultimately, this stuff is illegal, you know?
Yeah, I'm all for not downloading that stuff. I don't do it, and I encourage people out there not to steal. But this is just absurd.
Come on.
This is the RIAA. This is the music industry not getting it. Just not getting it.
Let's get kids on board.
So I've got my citizenship merit badge, my wilderness survival merit badge, and my
not copyright music, not steal copyrighted music merit badge.
Okay, now this is a merit badge where they're, you get it by not doing something.
Right.
No, no, no. You get all your merit badges by learning.
I understand. But
citizenship, you don't get it by being a citizen. You get it by learning about citizenship.
Yeah, learning about it and learning how to be,
but don't you
actively
have to be
a good citizen. In this, you're learning about something, like, so not to do it.
It's like voting and taking care of your
Do they have a drug awareness badge that you win by learning about drugs and not doing drugs?
Well, I didn't see that when I was there. But what I can tell you is this. Look, when you are learning about citizenship, you're just learning – I mean what you're basically learning is you're basically learning a lot about history and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not like stuff that you actually put to use on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, we did. I was a Boy Scout, too.
Okay.
And we had to go out and we had to volunteer, give public service time, and contribute to the community in some way.
Well, first of all, the big question is, how does this badge help us train youth to become military and special forces, which is exactly what the Boy Scouts is, and the Girl Scouts are walking vending machines to supply them. I mean, hello, we all know that it's a secret organization to train, you know,
I officially double
warriors.
You old man Aaron. It's official.
Ah, they're wrong, stupid kids! Ah! And your Girl Scout cookies, too! Take them with you! Now, did you guys hear that Ann Sweeney, the head of ABC, came out with a really interesting comment? They apparently have had lots of talks about illegal downloads. And instead of I really hope that they actually take this attitude toward their programming and their business plan. But they've decided to approach illegal downloads as a competitor, just as if it was like another television station.
Okay.
They said, we need to fight this. As if it's a competitor, not by suing the hell. I mean, they're going to go for lawsuits and all that type of stuff.
Right,
order to fight this, we need to think of it as a counter programmer, somebody else programming against our network.
That makes perfect
sense.
And
we need to program or come up with a business model that will allow us to win that battle, not stop it, because we are never going to stop it.
Is that why they're doing Lost on?
Well, that's. I think they're trying to come up with. You know, iTunes is a great, plan.
Part of it for me, and I think a lot of people might think the same way I do. Maybe not put it in the same words. Part of the concept of it being illegal to download a TV show seems really strange.
Yes,
because you've broadcast it. Mm-hmm. You have put it out to the world for free, right? Yes, you charged people to advertise as you put it out for free.
Mm-hmm.
But why should I pay you to give to Matt something that you have given to the world for free?
Especially since 1985, you've been giving it to me on VCR.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's all sorts of things going to a movie. Okay.
I didn't say movies. I said television shows.
Okay, the same type of thing. You go to a movie, and let's say you go to a movie for free. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now are you saying you could bring in a video camera and then hand it out? You've been invited to one viewing and
That show is not being distributed to the world for free. They are opening a floodgate by putting it onto the airwaves, which, by the way, my government allows them to use. For free or a very, very minimal price.
That is...
You know?
Okay, so that's...
So you taking advantage of me by using a resource I am giving them for free and then telling me I can't redistribute something they're giving me for free that they're being paid to distribute by their advertisers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't own the right to... the law is...
I would never resell their program. I would give it away.
Yeah, but you don't own the rights to do what you will, what you wish with their intellectual property. That's like saying, you know, if you hand a copy of a book to one person, he has the right to go and photocopy it and do whatever he wants with it.
Let me ask you a question, Don.
Yeah.
If a show is shown on ABC and it's being distributed for free, does that mean that CBS can take that show now and just distribute it because it's been distributed for free and they can show it to anyone they want to?
That's a sticky legal battle. But I'm not CBS.
Well, you're not, but maybe if you're putting something on the internet and it's going out to 100,000 people.
Listen, if you're Napster, you are CBS.
CBS is re-showing it right?
Mm-hmm.
With all of the original advertising, right? With all of the ads that the original group paid for,
mm-hmm.
I would actually have less of a problem
than
if CBS rebroadcast Lost and charged advertisers to place new commercials in it and made a profit. If there's no profit involved.
Yep, no, no, but well, you, I don't know why you're stuck on this profit thing. You can kill somebody else's profits by handing it out for free.
I mean, by that logic, mm-hmm. it should be okay to distribute any movie that's out there for free because you're not.
Well, Don did say television.
Yeah,
well,
I know. I'm not even saying cable. I'm saying broadcast television, where they're using the airwaves to distribute mm-hmm. for free mm-hmm. a product. Now, your book example, it is for free.
You're not paying for it, but someone else is paying for your ticket. Trust me, it ain't free.
No, but I'm saying on my end of things.
Okay,
someone
bought you a free ticket.
If I handed you a religious pamphlet, right, yeah. or any pamphlet, it doesn't have to be religious, I just think religious because pamphlets are religious. you walked down the street.
If
I handed you a free pamphlet,
mm-hmm.
right? Could you redistribute that pamphlet at will to anyone you wanted to?
No, it's probably copyrighted.
Actually, let me give you a more accurate analogy. I've got a book that I'm going to sell at some point, but I give you a free advanced copy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've been given a free advanced copy. Why can't you just distribute it, make copies of that, and distribute that for free? The reason you can't is because you're going to screw with my sales later.
Mm-hmm.
So once they've in other words, let me put it this way. Once they've distributed...
Understanding your concept, Peter.
No, but I want to get it out there in case other people, you know, so they can track it.
Okay.
So once they have distributed their TV show, they still have syndication rights and a whole huge slew of options in terms of how they're going to make their money on this, okay? Well, if people don't need to watch it on TV after it's been distributed once, if they can just go get it for free off the internet, why would the syndication rights be worth anything like what they were worth before?
Right.
Well, and keep in mind.
They won't be.
Keep in mind, when I'm making a TV show, say I'm mm-hmm. making a TV show, I'm not making all my money. Yeah, you know, I'm barely making my money back until it goes into syndication. That's where most of the money's going to be made.
And DVD sales.
And DVD sales and things like that. So, you know, that's the model for how things are made. You uh-huh. know, when they're pricing those advertising, they're
then
not pricing.
Then the model will have to change because the world is different now.
Well,
that's just the way things work.
No, that's what Ann Sweeney is saying.
That's great. So you should start distributing as much as you want on the internet. And we'll see whether or not they change first or you change when you're in jail.
That's you know. Fine. Right. I don't participate in these things incidentally. I don't even have LimeWire on my computer anymore.
I don't think LimeWire is working anymore.
Oh, does it not work anymore?
I think they got hit. I think they got targeted.
Really?
I think so.
No, but I mean, this is the reality of the changing marketplace. And I understand the corporate viewpoint is we don't want the marketplace to change because we make lots of money that way.
Yeah, but there are ways of making lots of money, and that is making it just as easily available to everybody. For example, iTunes is a great example. I'm okay with paying $1.50 mm-hmm. to $2 for an episode that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was going to do that with Lost because Lost didn't tape. I was going to go to iTunes, pay $2, you know, okay, fine. You know, if you add up all the whole thing, it might cost me for the whole season might be too much. But for the one episode, I'm okay with $20. I wasn't even considering downloading it illegally, mainly because it was so easy and so...
Exactly.
So,
and that's an example of a changing marketplace.
Right. And that's what Ann Sweeney is saying.
If you want to attack the people doing this... All you're going to do is spread publicity that it's possible
and
get more
work.
People to do it, yeah. as we've proved already with music.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's entirely true because I do think we have to say that different things that – there's a tug of war going on here. It's not all one-sided. It's not like you can't stop the piracy. You can't stop – you know, I mean, when a bunch of college kids got arrested all of a sudden and people realized, there were a lot of people who said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I could get arrested. That didn't stop everyone, but it had some people. So, you know, it did stop some people. That once there were actually,
it also let a whole bunch of people know that you could do it.
Yeah.
Well,
I actually my experience with that was very different.
Honestly, who the fuck didn't know you could do it at that point? They were retarded.
People in the 40s and up, when that whole advertising campaign came out,
mm-hmm.
like I was living in Malibu at that time,
mm-hmm.
right? all of the kids, some of the kids stopped doing it. Their parents started universally.
I want to see some numbers on this.
Yeah, I would like to see some
numbers. I can only give you anecdotal.
Okay, numbers, because I'm going to tell you that percentage of kids and percentage of adults in terms of doing this, way smaller percentage of adults. I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
I'm
but
positive.
After
fractional.
Peter, after the kids got prosecuted, you want numbers? The numbers for this, for downloading stuff illegal, has not gone down. If it's gone down,
I don't know.
It's increased.
I'm sure it's increased, but the question is how quickly compared to how quickly it would have otherwise. You know,
we can't suppose facts.
Right.
I have to break. This is we're going way on for too long for our news topic. We're already, so we'll make that for some reason.
This
really is a topic.
I just brought up the Boy Scout badge as my news.
All right. So anybody have any more important news they want to get out? Yeah. I just wanted to quickly say there is something. Bungie, apparently the Halo movie just lost its funding. So they are going out to try to find another studio to,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Universal and Fox were co-financing it and,
they dropped it. Too expensive.
Well, there's three different reasons that I've heard. First is it's a sort of untried director who doesn't have a lot of experience on a budget.
I thought it was Peter Jackson.
No, he's producing
it. Second of all, Peter Jackson and, his partner,
Fran,
we're getting a big, you know, chunk of change on this, and they came to him at the last second and said, no, we don't want you to get this much money. And they said, well, you know,
that was the deal.
So, and the third reason is the budget's been skyrocketing.
Ah.
Going up. It's up in the $200 million
range. And have they not shot a shot?
They haven't shot anything. Yeah.
Okay, so it's all potential. It's all bullshit thrown in the air.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
There you go.
So, a U.S.-British team of scientists has successfully tested a cloak of invisibility in a laboratory.
Yeah, we keep hearing this crap.
Is this different from the Japanese one?
Is this the one that does microwaves only?
Yeah, microwaves only. Device mostly hid a small copper cylinder from microwaves in tests at Duke University, North Carolina. Works by deflecting the microwaves around the object, restoring them on the other side as if they had passed through empty space.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Making an object vanish before a person's eyes is still a stuff of science fiction so far.
And you can cook the person in less than 20 seconds, so.
Right. Exactly.
So it's the same as the Japanese one, but a different method?
Different set of wavelengths. Basically, they're dealing with microwaves. So, I mean, as long as people keep on, you know, taking different wavelengths and condensing it and saying, okay, we can make you invisible to microwaves. We can make you invisible to this. We can make you invisible to that. I'm happy because eventually they'll get the whole package.
So what you reminded me of was like there's something I always could never figure out with when I read the X-Men comics, right? I was looking at the Kitty Pryde character.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, okay, so she can phase through matter, right? What's the next evolution of that power? They've never mucked with her power. It stayed the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next evolution of that power is to phase through energy, right?
Okay.
So phase through light, so you're invisible. Phase through heat.
Yeah, but
so, you know,
makes it impossible for her to... I mean, it's like you have to have a weakness. If nothing can hit her, no energy or matter.
She has to hold her breath.
Oh, God.
She has to hold her breath while she's phasing.
Well, and I was reading the Joss Whedon comics. He always has a good way of taking her out. You know? I was like, I bought all of them.
It's like the transporters failing every episode. It's like after a while, this, you know, or kryptonite.
Well, ultimately,
after a while,
it's still just a defensive power the way she uses it. You know? So, yeah. But it's just something I thought about.
Alrighty. Anybody else?
Google's profits have doubled in the third quarter, even after buying YouTube. That's it. Doubled. Third quarter profits.
Unreal. Alrighty, let's get to our topic.
Let's do it. Sexy man.
So what is our topic today?
Halloween.
So we wanted to get in a little Halloween episode before.
How did single notes in soundtracks become so frickin' frightening? I mean, Halloween is two notes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Jaws.
I would say it was probably Psycho. I think Psycho was the first one that did it.
I mean, do we really just hate single notes so much that it's become scary?
Well, it's a song that mimics the scene, you know,
right.
If it's a dark, empty scene where someone's tiptoeing or someone's creeping, you want that same type of footstep. ding, mm-hmm. ding. I mean, that's creepy sounding.
All you made me just think of is when Venkman walks into the room in Sigourney Weaver's house and hits the piano and goes, they hate that.
So, our Halloween episode.
Yes.
Of Geeks On.
What are we talking about in the Halloween episode?
Well, what we're talking about is Geeks On Halloween. You know, why is this the geekiest of holidays?
Is it
the geekiest of holidays?
Who says it's the geekiest
of
holidays?
Oh, I do, hands down. I mean...
Christmas?
Christmas is not geeky.
Christmas is open season for everybody to get excited, you know?
So...
Because,
well,
look,
Halloween,
it's like everybody, even non-geeks, right? They dip into that geeky place.
Right.
You know? Even the most mainstream guys dress up as Jedis.
Right.
You're saying
Yoda.
It's cosplay day.
It's cosplay day.
It's cosplay day. But also, it's that one day where it's okay to geek out, you know?
I mean, even back in the day, we would go and geek out and do crazy things. And it's kind of having a geeky party, you know? Themes.
I've always said that... Halloween is the one day in which everyone dresses up as themselves.
Really?
Unlike going into work with a business suit or dressing up what's in.
That's really funny because a friend of mine calls it dress as a whore day.
Well, maybe, but everybody
is she a whore?
Picks a costume.
Every year.
Everybody picks a costume that you can read the person's personality with. The way it's constructed, the type of hero, monster, whatever they are, whatever joke they are coming up with.
So what were you saying when we went out as aliens and you had the gigantic plastic ass with something shoved up
Alien
in it?
Alien autopsy.
Yeah, what were you...
I'm just saying, it was a geeky...
You're showing
subject.
A sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Geeky topic.
Wasn't saying anything about Aaron's ass?
No.
No. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that, you know, we all worry about... the styles and fashions. We all worry about the suit and looking nice going into work, and I don't think any of those represent somebody as well as
dressing
having a
order.
Day in which you can just go out and dress as anything you want and get away with it.
Well, what was the costume that you had to have as a kid that you wanted to be? For me, Spider-Man.
Actually, I lucked out because my mom... she made me handmade entire superhero costumes with the whole pull-on masks. I was Spider-Man, and you should see my... I have pictures of me in the costume. I look like a complete doofus, but the costume freaking kicks ass. I mean, I've got the pullover mask, the pull-up gloves, the whole, you know, suit.
Your mom? You must have gotten that and been like, no way!
My friends were like... my mom doesn't do that.
That's cool.
And I had a Captain America one as well, which kicked some serious ass.
You had a Captain America? I want to see your Captain America costume.
I got to see these, man.
Yeah, they're pretty kick-ass.
I never got to be a superhero.
Did you want to be a superhero?
I think I wanted to be a superhero. But I got the coolest costume I ever had, I remember. I was probably 9 years old, and my father dug out his old costume. That he wore when he was traveling with the King and I as the crown prince, right? So I got to wear these silk robes and this silk turban, this great little thing. And I was the same size as my dad when I was 9, you know? Right. So, but the best part that, like, they probably shouldn't have done this. He gave me the dagger that came with the costume, which was a real dagger.
Oh.
It was this curved knife with jewels on it, and like it looked so real, and the knife blade was real, but the gems were fake. But so I got to run amok for Halloween with a real life scimitar knife.
That would have been so awesome. I mean, does it still hold to what it was originally, chasing away the evil spirits, or is Halloween now just...
Does anyone even
we
know
we have a
that?
Different attitude about Halloween now, you know?
Now it's dressed as a whore day.
Think about it. I mean, it's horror movie month for a lot of people, like me, you know, where you're invoking fear, you know?
Right.
You're conjuring up the ghosts and goblins.
Which is the Friday the 13th, you know? Where Jason is on a boat and he's like...
Friday the 13th, Jason Gone Wild?
I don't know. I saw Friday the 13th last night. Jason's like, he's on a boat and he's climbing up yard arms and tearing. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was one of the It had recent to be ones. Like six. I was like, what?
Well, the last the one is the hell? One where he's in space in the future.
No.
That was fun. I watched that on HBO and had a great time.
It was like Cyborg Jason or whatever.
Yeah, and he fights like, you know, Robota the Metric Maid, like this robot woman Terminator thing.
Ugh. See, that's some geeky shit right
that
there.
That was fun. But like Jason versus Freddy. I just saw that recently too. It was cute.
I didn't dig on it. I've never digged on it.
That was the movie I've been waiting for, and then I never went and saw it.
Yeah. I mean, what I liked about Halloween movies specifically, other than the fact that they made me throw up at one point in time, is that you get this that real, real terror. And I haven't had a Halloween movie that just scared the ever-living crap out of me.
That's because you're getting older. I mean, that's just the way it's going to work.
As the imagination dies, so terror.
Hey, words hurt.
I mean, you know, you just realize that stuff is in the movie. And as a kid, you're dreaming of other shit.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, I was watching Silent Hill.
But the video games still scare the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
What one?
I don't know, the Resident Evil game, Silent Hill scared the living crap out of me.
Probably because your defenses drop a little more because you're inside the game.
Those things surprise me, but I don't get that same feeling as I did when I was a kid and I would read ghost stories and I was like tearing up.
Well, look, it's not quite as, it's not entirely as intense. You know, we're not, we don't have that lack of barrier between reality and play that we had when we were kids. I mean, because we were kids, you know, you'd make believe friends and stuff that was your friend, you know, and right. that was very real to you. Well, I mean, now we have a little more barrier.
I didn't actually have
a make-believe friend.
I made up a make-believe friend because we were supposed to have one at that age.
You got pressured into a friend?
I told my parents I had one
now,
to make
them
happy.
What peers? Parents. Were they fake peers that pressured into a
parents?
Peers? Oh, okay.
My parents were like, do you have an imaginary friend? No. Do you have an imaginary friend? No. Do you imagine? Yes, fine. Michael.
Mine was the Green Tiger. That was my imaginary friend, the Green Tiger.
Green Tiger.
I never did it. The Green Tiger did it. So.
Oh, he was your scapegoat. That too. That's not a friend.
You just didn't want to be wrong.
I still don't. Are you kidding? Come on, you know me.
Green
Tiger. That's not a friend. That's a scapegoat. I mean,
now it could be like, but
Peter's having a Green Tiger
but,
moment.
My friend has this daughter who's 4 or something, who has, like, you know, 9 imaginary friends who are all princesses.
Wow, I thought that was schizophrenia.
Cupida, Moppida, Sopida, and, like, it's the whole... She's got, like, a whole list of them. And Quali, you know? It's like, you know...
Quali.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah. Yeah. But as you were saying, you know, it's like, when you're a kid, you have a hard time differentiating. I mean, after I saw a scary movie when I was a kid... I was terrified to go into the bathroom at night because I'd seen a scene where this thing comes flying out of a closet when someone walks into the bathroom, and it'd be like the middle of the night, and I was like, you know, 6 or something, and I'd have to go in and have, you know, take a leak, and I'd be going in and I'd stand by the door and I'd look around and make sure that I don't see anything, and then I'd run in and take a leak, and then I'd flush the toilet. I'd run out as fast as I could because it might have heard the toilet flush. I had to get out before it would get me, you know.
Right.
And let me just tell you, that's never a good thing to be that terrified in the middle of the night, because then, of course, you can't go back to sleep. You know, it's like...
I had to do the flying leap off my bed.
Oh, of course.
Because I saw... And just when I was a little kid, just when I got over the fear, I saw a horror movie where something under the bed
grabbed the kid and dragged him under. I never walked up to my bed and crawled in. I was always a flying leap guy. I mean, you had to get at least 3 feet between your bed and where you're leaping from, because that's an arm's length.
You're a clown. See?
And nothing falls over the edge. You keep the damn blankets and your arms...
On the bed.
On the damn bed.
Nothing drifts over.
I think what we're getting at here is Halloween is the time of year when we celebrate that.
Right.
Right? The childhood fear.
Well, and if...
You know? And we've established in the past that geekdom is dragging your childhood into your adult life with you in some ways.
Then absolutely, Halloween is sort of the ultimate representation of that.
I find but what I was about to say when I was watching Silent Hill was that I'm watching the scary things, and on one level I'm going, ooh, that's scary, and on the other level I'm going, how did they do that? They probably used a Macintosh. What program were they using?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
And it, you know.
See, I did
Welcome
that as
a... to my movie watching life.
Is that why you do that? All right.
I'm looking at it going, I wonder if that's a track shot or... Like, War of the Worlds, where they're driving along and the camera
comes
goes
out
of the car and around.
And around and back
the
in.
The whole rest of the movie, I wasn't even paying attention because I was trying to figure that out.
Wow, yeah.
And most of the people don't even know
what... That happened, yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That was a pretty spectacularly fancy shot.
Wow, you need to...
I couldn't believe it.
You need to, like, do some self-hypnosis. Yeah.
But there are times, like,
do
you get emotional during movies? Because I
cry over commercials.
But
I cry
movies.
The time.
But, do you really?
Okay, yeah. So maybe commercials are not long enough for you to get in them.
Commercials, movies, television shows, I cry over anything. If they want me to cry, all they have to do is make someone else cry, I'm done.
That's funny, because like when I've watched you when we go to the movies, right? Mm-hmm. I watch the audience half the time. It's what I do. Now, Aaron, you have this shield around you when you watch a movie. Mm-hmm. Like no emotion shall pass this shield. And I was
really?
Curious.
Well,
about
maybe
that.
It's when we go
look like.
Well, maybe it's when we go 12 of us to go see a movie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we haven't. We go to see.
We do group movies. You know.
Yeah. But the group movies aren't ones that.
That's true. We do.
He's not going to cry. At Spider-Man.
Well, no. Like we saw V for Vendetta.
Yeah. What are you going to cry over?
No,
there?
Hold on. Like, this surprised the hell out of me too because I didn't feel especially emotional at the end of that movie. Mm-hmm. But I was looking around the audience and there were people kind of welling up. And I know at least two other geeks who were just, like, in tears at the end of that movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about. These people were on crack. They were crying for an entirely different reason.
I will introduce you to one of them. And
maybe they were crying because it didn't live up to what they hoped V for Vendetta was going to be.
I was crying because Natalie Portman cut off all her beautiful hair.
Yeah, it's true.
So, sorry, did I kill something?
All right. I would say that Halloween is the id holiday. Okay.
Ooh.
If Christmas is the superego holiday, it's all about goodness.
You probably should explain your definition.
Everything right. Okay. You know, Halloween is the id holiday. It's all about your basic human emotions. It's about fear. It's about sexuality, expressing all those different things.
Very visceral. Huh.
Now, how did sexuality get introduced to Halloween?
Women in costumes.
Yeah.
Again, I still think it's your license to do something you're not allowed to do. And that's what cosplayers like. The reason why cosplayers don't do it every day is because they don't have the license to do it. A cosplayer goes to a convention and they're given the license to dress up a way that they aren't normally allowed to do. And that is the reason why they do it. And
makes
so
sense.
They go and they watch anime and they pick a costume that they think that they would be sexy in. So guys would go, great costume. And they look at them or take pictures. They feel good for that day. And I think it's the exact same way. Why do they always pick the damn kitty cat damn costume with the ears and the sexy body suit thing? Well, it's not because it's a clever costume. It's because they get looked at and they give, you know, they...
Be whore for a day.
Well, also, the cat...
Whore for a day.
The cat is one of the most sensual animals. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a...
But that's another excuse.
Yeah, but they do it if they dress up like a dog, too, you know?
I've never seen anyone dress up as a dog.
Trust me, I could...
But
friends can just put on a dog costume.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. But the point is, people don't dress up as dogs. They dress up as cats.
Right.
Because then they can pretend to be something that they're not, and they're picking an animal that's the more sexual of the animals so that they can be sexier and they can express their sexuality.
Yeah, I don't think
they're not
drugs.
Picking dogs so they can be faithful and run around and go, hey, pet me here. I'm going to run in. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's because that they're releasing something. I mean, guys do it to get attention too. I mean, you know, everyone walking up and say, oh, awesome costume. And, you know, it's the same type of thing. They get attention for that one, mm-hmm. for one night.
Well, it's interesting that the guy's sexual ones are almost always sense of humor. You know, like the guy who did, like, free mammograms and he had,
guys dressing sexy look like douchebags. I mean, how are you going to do it?
Well, part of it is, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm talking out of my butt here, but I think everyone knows what a sexy woman looks like,
right?
But there's no, like, male... there hasn't been a male archetype of sexy.
Guy.
There's getting to be one now.
Guy just comes to the Halloween party dressed as a guy in a suit with a car and a job.
Yes. I'm working.
You're working. Exactly.
One of my favorite ones that I ever saw was this guy that was dressed as a priest, but he had built a child out of, like, you know, I don't even know.
Pillows or...
like pillows and stuff. So there's this child that's built on the front of his body with its arm wrapped around his waist.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Clearly
one.
Giving him a blowjob. It was hysterical.
That's wow, a pretty popular
that's,
one,
that's a popular
actually.
Costume.
That's really wrong.
Yeah. It was pretty wrong, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, you know, making, you know, the big political joke or political statement as the joke costume is big, at least in L.A. Yeah. There's a big costume street party here.
I think in cities, it's usually a big
well,
deal.
Well, when we went as the Axis of Evil, that was, to me, incredibly funny because it was sort of like this roving IQ test. You know, we went as the Axis of Evil, so everybody got axes.
Giant axes.
Gigantic axes that we could go and cut people in half with. And everybody had signs on their chest that said evil. And it was so funny because we would rove through the crowd and people would go, axes, oh, you guys the Grim Reaper?
Yeah.
Wow, I love death. Oh, are you evil? And then, like, a few people would just suddenly, like, look at us. They'd turn their head to the side like a dog and then they go, wow, that's awesome. And it was sort of this roving IQ test.
I did the same thing. My costume was a rope wrapped around my neck that stretched about 3 feet above my head and stopped like a hangman's noose.
That's great.
And a name tag saying Chad, right? And so I'm walking through the party and, like, literally 1 in 10 just went, Hanging Chad! Okay, it's outdated now.
Didn't someone think you were a bumper car?
Yes, somebody thought I was a bumper car. But what cracked me up, though, is I got online for, like, a corn dog or something. And I get to the front of the line, I turn to my left, and there's this other guy looking at me with a name tag that said Chad and a little stubby noose around his neck. And there was just that moment of connection, you know?
We should go as bumper cars this year.
How about making your Halloween geekier? This is something I wanted to talk about. Books, movies, television shows. I've got a whole list of board games.
Oh, my God. You sure do.
And role-playing games.
As far as board games goes, I got to throw out Arkham Horror. Period.
That's a great game.
You know, Arkham Horror is like perfect.
It's a fun game.
Halloween game.
There's the other one. What was... Oh.
Arkham Horror takes too long, in my opinion, but...
It's a fun too long, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it ever stops like some of the longer board games.
I want more games, like the old... Do you remember Seventh Guest and 11th Hour?
I was just about to suggest
that
one
like video
that.
Games?
Yeah.
Like
Myst? I mean,
there is a game
called...
Yeah, but
Myst is freaky.
What is it? Mystery of the House or House on the Hill? Mystery of the House on the Hill? Do you remember the one I'm talking about?
Wait, he's talking about a video game.
I'm talking about a board game.
You're saying you want a... Oh, I thought you said you wanted a board game like that.
I wanted a... there's no board game that could really scare the crap out of you unless the purpose of the board game were to scare your friends, which would be fun.
There is no scary board game. That's probably true.
You know.
But
Betrayal on...
yes.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is the
Betrayal at House on the Hill. This is a wonderful game. I got to play it one time, and I had such a good time. The premise of the game is you're basically the Scooby Gang. Right? You've got these, like, six characters, and they have two versions of each character. Like, the Goody Two-Shoes version and, like, the evil version, right? The edgy, gothy version.
And but so, everyone plays the good version first, right?
No. You choose which one you want to play. They just have different stats, right? Just because they're edgy and gothy doesn't mean they're evil, right? So the way it works is you all start in the foyer of a haunted mansion, and the door's locked. You can't get out, right? And so you all go out and you explore the mansion. You can go up to the basement, up to the attic, and you build the board
as you do
that.
It's like a tile-laying fun.
A tile-laying game. Now, as you do that, it's haunted house elements pop up, right? And your character gets stronger or weaker in different areas, right? And basically, as these different omens keep coming up, there's a bigger and bigger chance that the haunting kicks in. Right?
Which is the twist.
So, the twist. So, as you explore the house, you get more and more powerful or less and less powerful, and the haunting gets closer and closer and closer. Once the haunting kicks in, right, the real game begins. At which point, depending what circumstances triggered the haunting, there's a book with like 50 or 100 different scenarios.
Oh, cool.
That reveal what is actually happening in the game.
I want to play this.
So in the one that I played, we all go out, we explore the house, and then it's revealed that the owner of the house has just died. One of us is being snubbed by him in the will. So he's got until dawn to kill everyone else in the house in order to be the sole inheritor.
Now,
otherwise, he gets
nothing. Isn't the other trick that at that point, one person's revealed to be the yes. traitor, and that person is then against everybody else?
Yes, that's what this one was. He was the traitor. So now all of a sudden these other little monsters get put down in the mansion who are the servants, the evil servants in cahoots with him, and he has to run through the mansion and kill us as we run and try and just get away from him for, like, you know, a certain number of turns.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
It was excellent. I had so much fun playing that game.
And how does he kill you?
He physically has to run through the tile map to find you.
But if he finds you, he automatically kills you.
Die rolling or something.
It's, yeah, there's stats. And
okay.
That's so much fun.
Your characters have little character cards with stats.
Yeah, see, that sounds great. No, that's what I was asking, because I was wondering if it was like an instant kill or if you could fight back and, you know, survive.
Well, I think, he has to catch you. There are servants there, and what the servants do is if the servants move into your square, mm-hmm. they grab you and hold you so that he has a better chance of getting to you.
They slow you down. You know? Right. Remember Mall of Horror?
I was going to say, that's a great one.
Mall of Horror was really good. What was the zombie one with the, like...
Zombies.
That's Mall of Zombies.
That's Zombies, all right.
Mall of Horror, let's discuss what they are briefly so people can look into them if they're interested. Mall of Horror is five locations on a board.
Right.
In a mall.
Which we played wrong.
No, I think we...
We played that one right.
I think we played
Did
that
we play
one.
That one right?
Yeah, we played that one
okay.
right.
Okay.
Long story short, each of you have four characters. The goal of the game is to be the last person with characters remaining in the game.
Right.
Your characters run into stores and hide from the zombies, right?
Which are trying to break into each location.
Right. The more people in a location, the more zombies come. Once the zombies go over a certain threshold, they break into the store and will eat someone in the store. And at which point, everyone with a character in the store gets one vote as to who the zombies will eat.
You vote one of the other characters to be eaten.
Right.
Now, the other trick is that each location only holds a certain amount of people, and you yep. secretly choose where you're going to move all your people. Yep. So if it fills up before you can get in, you get trapped in the parking lot in the basement.
Which is a bad place to be.
Which is the zombies rush.
Don't go to the parking
lot. Although you can get equipment
But you
down
can get
there.
Stuff there.
Yeah.
So, like, and they also have the fun little twist that each of the characters have a different function. One of your characters shores up the locations, makes them harder for the zombies to break into. One of them is the scream queen who attracts zombies to wherever she is. And one of them is the guy with a gun who gets one extra vote when deciding who the zombies eat.
Right.
There you go.
So it's kind of a stab the back of your neighbor type of game, which is fun. You know, you vote people off.
And it's very simple, very easy to learn, very quick.
Yes.
Zombies. Is another very popular game. I think it's on its fifth expansion
now. Like we must have played that wrong.
We must have.
Is that the one that we played wrong?
Yeah, where it was endless?
Yeah, it was endless.
It was endless and was really boring when we played it.
Yeah.
So we did it wrong.
Must have played it wrong.
With five expansions out, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
The premise is it's another tile building game. You've got buildings and streets. You're trying to escape the city, I think.
You're trying to get to a helicopter pad.
Right.
Meanwhile, the city is filling up with zombies and hundreds.
Hundreds
of
zombies.
You get a bag of zombies and you keep putting them on the board and you're just mowing them down.
Yeah. And so in the game, you play characters that are trying to escape and you take turns controlling the zombies. So you throw the zombies at other players, and the same players are grabbing the same zombies and trying to throw them back at you. It's like hot potato.
Wouldn't it be fun to have a gigantic real-life game of, like, the equivalent of hide-and-seek, except you do it in a park over Halloween or something like that, where everybody plays zombies, and it's whoever can last to the last person and get out of the park, and, you know.
And if you get touched or whatever, you
get
become
touched,
a zombie.
If everybody, you know, if you get touched, you become
a zombie. That would be great. We should sponsor that next year.
That'd be really fun.
It'd be even better in, like, a graveyard.
Charge
admission. Yeah, you go into the Hollywood graveyard. Yeah. Everybody, you know, it's like...
If you charge admission, you're going to need security.
Yeah. You have to do, you know, if you're going to get out of the graveyard, you have to get five things before you have to get, you know, package one, package two, package three, package four, package five, get out of the graveyard, you know.
Here's a game, Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
Great game.
1 and 2. It's a card game in which the players try to build a successful B-movie while other players throw monsters at it and try to tear it down.
It just cracks me up every time we play it because it has so many, like the Scream Queen. It has, you know, cards like you've had sex, now you must die.
Three-picture deal, which resurrects a killed player.
This is actually the game that I'm always not there for whenever you play it. I've played the game twice, I think.
Oh.
And so I don't really have that good a grip on it, but I remember the concepts being very funny.
Yeah, yeah. There's the bookish girl, and there's so many quotes on them that are absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, if you play this game, make sure that everybody who plays a card reads the quote in some type of character voice,
yeah.
Because that's what makes the game.
That's what makes the game
If you
fun.
Just play the game straight, you're not playing the game.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a comedy, so you have to. Munchkin Bites.
Munchkin Bites?
Yeah.
I have not heard of this.
There's like 100,000 Munchkin.
I know that, but I haven't heard of Munchkin.
Munchkin
Bites.
Is the game that seems to be saving Steve Jackson games.
Right.
I'm not sure why.
It's a cash cow.
It's a fun game, but once the joke is over, it's over in my
opinion. Yeah, it's like once you've seen the cards, you're done.
I think that's the reason why they're selling
so
new
many
packs.
Expansions. Yeah.
Let's see. The other one that I want to mention is free. You can actually buy a version of this, but it's free. It's Werewolf. You guys have not played Werewolf with me, but I played it many, many times with another gaming group, more of a party group. You can play between probably 10 and 20 people, but you need a pretty big group of people. And what you do is, if you don't own the game, I actually made my own cards, but if you don't own the game, you go get some playing cards. You take out a card for every player, but you make sure there's only two face cards in there and one ace card, okay? You shuffle them up and you pass one card out to everybody. Everyone secretly looks at their card. If they have a number card besides the ace, they are a villager, okay?
Okay.
If they have a face card, they're a werewolf or a vampire or a mobster, depending on how you're playing the game. Let's just say werewolf. If you're the ace, you're the werewolf hunter. Then there's a referee. And the referee runs the game, and he says, okay, it is at night, and the village is dark, and the houses are quiet because everybody's asleep. And everyone closes their eyes, lowers their head, and then the werewolves awaken. And they raise their head, and they look around, two of the werewolves, and they have to, using their eyes, pick one person they're going to kill at night. Then they close their eyes. The referee now knows who's gonna die. The referee says, now the werewolf hunter opens his eyes. So the one werewolf hunter looks around, if he hasn't already been killed, and he points at somebody, and the referee shakes his head either yes or no and tells him whether he's pointed to a werewolf or not. He gets one guess a night. And then the werewolf hunter goes to sleep. And then everyone wakes up in the morning. And the referee describes the bloody details of who has died. And that person sits out. They're out of the game.
Oh, that sucks.
And now the villagers have two chances before the next night
to guess all
to accuse one person or two people and lynch them or let them free. So I might say, and you need a second. You say, I think Don was a werewolf because I heard noise to my right. There was some rustling around, and I think he was pointing to somebody.
Right.
And somebody has to second the motion. I heard that too. I think of Don. Then Don, who's on trial, gets a moment to defend himself. Well, I have an itch that I had to scratch, and I don't want to be accused of werewolf simply because I had an itch. And to accuse me would be immoral. And then everyone votes. And when you vote yes or no, everyone votes that you're a werewolf, you've been lynched and you're out of the game. No one tells you whether you were a werewolf or not. Then the night rolls around again, and you keep going until either the werewolves have killed everybody in town or the villagers have killed all of the werewolves.
Excellent.
It's a great, great party
game.
That
sounds fun.
It's a great party.
You have to have a good referee for that.
We'll give it a try sometime.
But what's fun is that as a villager, you're killing off lots of innocent villagers trying to figure out who the werewolves
are. Exactly. Yeah, you're lynching all sorts of people.
One thing I find interesting, though, is that I've heard of this game before, but it was not called Werewolf. It was called Mafia.
Yeah, Mafia. Mafia, Werewolf, Vampire. There's a whole bunch of different names. Okay. If you go online and search for Mafia, Werewolf is the most common name for it. You can find the rules. And there's also, if you have a lot of people, there are also other roles that you can hand out in cards to make the game even more interesting, to either help the vampires or werewolves or mobsters or hinder them, depending on the game. So anyway, great, great game. But there's also some role-playing games. Don, you can help me out. Oh, wait, before we... Oh, no, yeah, role-playing games.
Paranoia. would be a great game to play on Halloween.
Paranoia is a, it can be played that way.
Of an Call April Fool's thing.
Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu, hands
the
down.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate.
Ravenloft world for Dungeons & Dragons is Halloween 24/7.
Werewolf.
And the Army of Darkness world. Including one called...
World of Darkness.
Promethean, the Created. Have you heard of that?
No.
I think it was a third
That's
party
a new
book.
One. That's a new one.
Well, there's also, of course, the one that we were playing with Matt right now. Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds has a...
Specifically specific the Vietnam... One.
Vietnam horror film.
Against, horror here's thing. An interesting one. It's called Against the Darkness, Vatican Horror RPG.
Ooh.
Wow. It says, guilt and recrimination.
Says, the description is, do you have what it takes to stand against the darkness? It's an exciting game of modern Vatican horror... An unprepared of the unprepared humanity. The only defense is a small, steady, shrinking group of holy defenders, the heroes of modern Templars, treasure seekers, dispassionate experts, sacred hunters, blessed non-believers, and others who face unspeakable evil with only faith, knowledge, and miraculous powers to keep them alive.
Why do I always have to be the flying nun?
Anyway, it sounds kind of interesting. GURPS Horror, GURPS Cthulhu Punk are two things I'll throw in there because I'm a big GURPS player.
Really?
You know. Which, by the way, we've started a GURPS campaign.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
What other? Chill was an old 80s.
Oh, Chill.
Chill.
God, I forgot
about
that. Where'd
you pull that one out of?
That's an old one.
Jeez.
The other board game, Fury of Dracula.
We still haven't played it. So.
We haven't played that. I played the old 80s version.
We're not going to recommend... Oh, there is one more board game I want to plug. I think it's... what is it called? Lore Quest?
Happy Happy Fun Bears?
The one that's sort of like Talisman that we like.
Oh, Runebound?
Okay, Runebound has something called... I think it's called Runebound Midnight.
Midnight, yeah.
Which is Runebounds with a horror theme to it. It's
that's
like,
cool.
It's an expansion. You're the bad guys in an undead world, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent.
Cool. Anybody else have any ways of geeking? Oh, wait. Before I'm also going to put a link. There's a website that has free role-playing games where people have written. And there is just in the horror section, there's probably 30 free role-playing games. Rules, character creation, all that stuff, all here.
That's great.
Some of them look pretty cool. And some of them, people have written a lot of stuff on it.
I got a couple of links to weird geeky costumes. Like a guy built a gigantic 12-foot robotic dog. It looks like a robot dog. And he looks like the guy who's piloting it.
Oh,
he's wearing stilts.
Oh, it's a tiger.
It's a tiger.
Yeah. Is it a tiger?
Yeah. Steampunk tiger. The guy's like in the middle of like France, going past the women.
Well, it's silver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Might be the same thing.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was like, wow, how do you do that? Yeah, but yeah.
It takes
what about
nine
books?
Hours to get there.
Any geeky horror books?
I enjoyed Trailer Park of Horror.
Oh, the comic book.
The comic book, Trailer Park Horror. It's Tales from the Crypt, just with a white trash theme.
Mask of the Red Death, the vampire series. I really like that series for Halloween. It's not really terribly horrific, but it's fun. Also, The Cleanup is a really, really wonderful horror story. It's actually more gory than horrible, about a nerd who's given superpowers, and he cracks and goes over the edge and starts killing people.
Batman The Long Halloween. I don't know much about it, but I was looking up Halloween film comics online, and that was the one that really came up, and it looks good. So.
I have it. I don't remember it being specifically Halloween.
The Alfred Hitchcock's Murder Mystery Short Stories is incredibly, incredibly spooky and good as well. It's a lot of sort of closed-door murders, but all of them start from the point of view of the person who's being murdered, and they're really neat and fun and kind of spooky.
This is another old one, but if anyone has not read Amityville Horror, you really should, because
I gotta read.
I still
that.
Have it.
It's good.
Still have it.
I really want to read that.
It's very mundane type of terror. It's not like the movies where people are dying and shit like
right.
that. That's what's scary about it, because it says it's a true story and things happen in there that you feel like if could be possible, or even it's mundane enough in its. And it's kind of fantasy that it makes you think that maybe there is something out there. Anyway, it's definitely worth reading.
Mm-hmm. As far as video games go, I mean, we briefly touched on them. But the Resident Evil series is kind of the original of the survival horror genre.
Silent Hill?
Silent Hill is the king of it, I think. Right.
I think it's the king, too.
Fear?
Although the latest, I didn't play the latest Resident Evil, and I hear that was amazing. And that may have put Resident Evil back on top of the
That was
king
the one I played,
category.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one you liked.
That one was great.
I'll go pick it up.
Condemned, the Xbox 360 game, has... I've only played the first part of it, and it's pretty scary. Then it turns out to be just kind of like a cop type of
not thing. Scary, but Hunter of the Reckoning.
I would actually suggest avoiding it. It's just not fun enough to be scary.
But you get to fire crossbows.
That's true.
Oh, you mean that Baldur's Gate bullshit?
Yeah, it's a piece of crap.
No. One that a lot of people have overlooked, though, is Fatal Frame.
Oh, Fatal Frame. That was supposed to be freaking awesome. I keep, like, reaching for it when I...
It comes very highly recommended. Yeah. I played a little bit of it. I was very impressed by what I saw. And because it's sort of the forgotten survival horror one, give it a shot. It's
And it's got the Ringu girl in it.
That's right.
Yay. Oh, and Fear has now. Fear. That little girl running around with the hair in front of her face.
It's the new trend.
Why are little girls creepy?
I know you don't see it from little boys.
No,
boys are Japanese not the picture of terror. You know,
that's like a specific iconic Japanese thing.
Yeah, but
right
little
now.
Girls twirling in a playground. That's,
go
that's
back
freaky.
To go back to freaking
Poltergeist. Even
there's a little girl in Poltergeist.
Yeah, Sue Ann gets pulled through the TV.
But she's not scary. I was thinking of the twins from for Pete's sake, The Shining,
right.
You know?
Red rum.
But,
red
oh, The Shining. Go see The Shining.
The Shining.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for haunted house stuff myself. Like The Shining, Amityville Horror.
I want to go to one of our local...
Not The Haunting.
I like Inundation, so I actually want to go to one of our real haunted houses around here as well.
A friend of mine is going to get us good cheap tickets for the Universal Horror thing going on this year.
Only if we can go with Eris.
Oh, absolutely. No, Eris is refusing to go this year.
Such a good idea.
Well, any other?
You know, he punched.
I think that's it for me.
You know, he punched somebody, right? Okay.
Yeah, we went to a Not Scary Farm last year, and they had a great guy. They had a great haunted house, right? They have multiple haunted houses set up throughout the theme park, but they have this one haunted house where there's all this sort of kind of cheesy, scary stuff through it. So your defenses are lower when you're walking out. When they have this guy dressed in the Scream costume, just phase out of the darkness. He just appears in front of you and is reaching for you before you're aware of him. And Eris screamed this high-pitched little girl scream, and his fist just lashed out
and
decked the guy. Yeah, just it wasn't even like a little girly punch. It was just like, bam!
Was the guy okay?
That poor guy. Yeah, I think he was on rollerblades, too. He kind of rolled up and then got hit and rolled back.
Nice.
He's so sad.
But let's move on to our bit.
Wait, scariest books you've ever read, real quick. Pet Sematary is the one on my list.
Pet Sematary.
That scared the crap out of me.
Oh, God. It obviously scared the crap out of me. Yeah. And I'm blanking on the frickin' name, but I always remember I had to turn the book over so that it would be face down because I didn't want to let it... God, I can't remember. Oh, what was it?
I'm with you. Pet Sematary was the scariest book I ever read.
You know, when he wrote that, when he finished it, he put it in a drawer because he thought it was too scary. He didn't sell it
for
a couple years.
What did they do to the movie then? Because that movie was crap.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, the movie's not that good. But
Stephen King books rarely survive the translation.
But really, the book is terrifying. And the thing is about the book came from a lot of real-life things that happened to him. He lived in that house. He had those big trucks barreling past. His kid went running towards the road and almost got hit by a car. He grabbed his kid, and it all came from what would have happened if I had missed and my kid actually got hit by this car. And they had a pet cemetery that was just like that. That was not too far away, and that's where it all came from. It's all, you know.
Matt, remember the title of his book?
Skeleton Crew is actually it's a series of short stories by Stephen King, and that's what it was. It had a hand.
All picked Stephen King.
It had a hand on it with eyes.
It's funny, though, his books don't survive the translation to film. They are excellent books in general.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of email and
why did you miss
forum
this?
suggestions on other books. Excellent.
Most likely.
Bring it. Those are all. Bring it. Because I haven't read good horror in a long time.
So let's do our bits.
So this week we're doing Dear Demon Lord again.
Yes, we've got
a celebration of Halloween.
Woohoo! Okay. I haven't done it in a long time.
And we've got several questions for the Demon Lord.
Yeah.
We've each written our own question and our own response that Matt's going to, that the Demon Lord is going to
answer. Oh!
Jesus.
All right.
We will now summon the Demon Lord.
Okay.
Is the Demon Lord in the room?
I believe I am.
Here's our first letter.
As long as he believes he is.
Dear Demon Lord, my mother is mean to me and won't let me go out this Halloween because she says I'm too young and this is a pagan holiday. How can I get her to let me out? I really like candy. Signed, Billy.
Dear Billy, in regards to alleviating your problem with your overbearing, insensitive, under-informed matriarch figure, I suggest trying a dab of strychnine or rat poison. Clearly, this unenlightened do-gooder is over-exercising her parental prerogative and must be made to bow before the power of the dark side. Burial in the backyard is preferably done the night before under the moonlight so as not to call attention to oneself. As for my recommendation, Halloween activities. I find it amusing to sacrifice a goat to the Dark One, Yog-Sothoth, and then watch the little humans run around screaming, "Please don't eat me." Alternately, you could rent Buffy from your local Blockbuster. Either way, you'll be supporting the forces of hell.
Wow. Good advice.
Hmm. Did Geekson just advocate killing his one mother? His
mother? No. Geekson had nothing to do with that. That was the Demon Lord.
We acknowledge nothing.
Oh my God.
Peter, that would make this an illegal podcast then, wouldn't it?
If it was done with realistic intent, yes.
Satire.
All right, who's the next?
Dear Demon Lord, I'm worried about some questionable acts I've performed. Is it really as bad as they say in hell?
Yes. Whole thing. 7 levels. Really bad parking. I mean, it's hell. Mostly what you're going to find is paperwork and really long lines you have to wait in. We found that nothing really demoralizes the spirit like a good 1040 easy form and a good slow-moving row. Oh, and Azazel just put in this new thing where we make you forgetful, so when you get to the front of the line, you realize you've forgotten one important thing that you really needed, so you have to go back to your house and get it, come back, find another parking space, get in the line again. Azazel, that guy. That's not to say we're all bad traffic and tormented souls who can't merge. We had this torture where you would be strapped to a chair with a nasty topical rash, then forced to listen to Barry Manilow's Mandy for 10,000 years. That was a good one. Or this time when we were having a Buddhist eating contest and Mephistopheles snarfed up a peeps of the Hi-Ho Lama up his nose and we were all laughing. Good times, good times. So yeah, it's hell. If you want to taste, then for breakfast, have someone throw you off of a building, and on the way down, get your eyelid caught on a nail, land smack on a bicycle with no seat, and then crash headlong into a busload of strippers who would never come near you, who are all singing Paris Hilton's greatest hits. That combination of severe pain, suffering, and annoyance is just like hell. Sort of, but more peanut buttery.
I had a feeling that Paris Hilton's greatest hits had a large place in hell.
Exactly.
No.
Dear Demon Lord, I have writer's block. Any help? Signed, Stuck in Saskatchewan.
Dear Saskatchewan. No.
Okay. All right. Dear Demon Lord, Halloween is coming up, and I'm not really prepared. What are some good low-cost costume ideas? Derek.
Derica. Thank you, Derica. There are plenty of costumes that you can make just with the items you have lying around the house. For example, if you have a candle, some sea salt, rubbing alcohol, and fishing wire, you can go as a plasmid rancor blood actuary. Grab some cornflakes, spearmint glue, powdered elk antler, clown white makeup, and soul shards from a tortured, beaten, starving child. And you can go as Cardinal Roger Mahoney from Los Angeles. One problem. Because of the mask of lies, it's hard to drink and eat in this costume. Or you can just wear a black trench coat and put on some makeup and go as the Crow, like everyone else with no imagination.
Oh, good advice.
That's really good.
Thank you for attending, Demon Lord. Should we get rid of him, or should we leave him around till after Halloween?
Well, oh my god, you've broken the pentagram! No!
Geeksod.com.